Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources faces some big changes under Governor Walker's proposed state budget. We'll examine what is proposed and what it might mean this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February 5th. Among the changes, cuts in the scientific and education staff of the DNR, a loss of authority for the Natural Resources Board, a halt in the purchase of land for conservation purposes through the Stewardship Fund. So do you have any reactions or questions about this plan? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll get reaction from a former Democratic state lawmaker who is now with the Sierra Club and a current Republican state senator who is on the Senate's Natural Resources Committee coming up a little later in the program. But first, we'll get the details on this proposal from Wisconsin Public Radio's Chuck Wurmbach. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
Chuck covers environmental issues for Wisconsin Public Radio. And what are let's kind of sum up the governor's proposal, Chuck. Can you start with the Stewardship Fund?
Well, sure. That's the program, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program, which has been around for more than 25 years now. It's basically in its third edition, if you will. It basically uses state bonds to buy land, easements, and make various protections. Somewhere around 600,000 acres have been protected during the life of stewardship, often now with partnering through local groups and other levels of government. The state has been the main instigator and main partner, but there's other parties involved. Now, this current edition of stewardship started under Governor Jim Doyle. Governor Walker has made some cuts before, but now he wants to halt land purchases until the bond debt payments are no more than 1/8 of the total cost of stewardship. That could delay stewardship land buys until 2028. Our colleague Rich Kramer sent along this audio of the governor explaining himself yesterday in Eau Claire.
We think you should be good stewards not only of our natural resources, but of our finances. And we think the ratio, debt ratio, is too high right now. We want to get that under control. It's grown too big in the past. But we're also doing that overall. The total amount of state-funded bonding is down by about $2 billion from Jim Doyle's last budget.
Now, the governor says he hears, especially in northern Wisconsin, and I believe one of your guests later today could elaborate, that there are too many state land buys.
Yeah, so the Stewardship Fund buys land to preserve it for conservation purposes, to protect it from development?
That's one of the main reasons anyway, sure. And so the reaction from conservation groups, not positive at all. They say there remains development pressure over much of the state, that there's more land that needs protection. And as I say, that there are typically now deals to go along with national and local conservation groups that make the taxpayer dollar, if you will, go longer ways. Now, Gathering Waters, Wisconsin's Alliance for Land Trusts, says it's alarmed by the governor's action, noting that stewardship often helps the hunting, fishing, and timber industries, citing the rural St. Croix Legacy Forest in the north. Parts of the National Ice Age Trail through Wisconsin, used by many hikers who buy boots and things like that. And also trout stream protections in the Driftless area in southwestern Wisconsin. I guess we should note that it's not just the conservation groups. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Racine County, has also raised concerns about the stewardship proposal, saying that there's a lot of land in southeastern Wisconsin that's up for pressure, and he'd like to, I guess, to preserve parts of it.
Yeah, and I'm sure former Democratic State Representative Spencer Black from Madison, who is now with the Sierra Club and who was instrumental in the creation of the Stewardship Fund, will also have a reaction to this proposal. That's coming up after the news in about 5 minutes or so. And yes, Tom Tiffany, a Republican state senator from Hazelhurst, who serves on the Senate Natural Resources Committee, will also respond to the governor's proposed changes and cuts to the DNR in his budget that he unveiled this week. We are talking about this proposal affecting the DNR with Chuck Wurmbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee who also covers environmental issues. If you have a question, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So besides halting purchases through the stewardship fund, Chuck, what else does the governor want to do?
Well, making these citizen boards like the DNR board, the State Ag Board, the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board, Kickapoo Valley Reserve Board, all advisory. Now, some of the boards, DNR especially, has been around for decades, many decades. They've had their powers weakened about 20 years ago. Tommy Thompson stripped them from being able to choose the DNR secretary. Other governors have blocked attempts to restore those appointment powers, but the boards have continued with policy making, which has always been subject to legislative and now I think governor's review. I've sat through many hours of DNR board meetings and watched public testimony, citizen to citizen, if you will. Kim Wright of Midwest Environmental Advocates Group in Madison is a critic of the governor's plan. She's often testified or been in the audience at the DNR board.
It's a place where a wide variety of issues, where the public come in and share their experiences in daily life, and that's really important.
So why does the governor want to take away the Natural Resources Board's policy powers?
Well, I've heard less in the way of specific statements on that. He's already appointed the majority of this board. He can nix some of their actions. A couple of votes, I guess, have irritated lobbyists that are friends with the governor, maybe cutting back with the board as part of his streamlining of state government, or, as I say, he sort of basically controls parts of it already. I guess maybe he just sort of says make it advisory and leave all the responsibility to the elected official himself.
So just to clarify, does this mean that the Natural Resources Board will not have any control over, say, environmental regulations?
Well, it seems that when they often now have been dealing with hunting and wildlife regulations as well, there would the way I've seen the proposal would be advisory. Again, mm-hmm. Senator Tiffany, perhaps, and certainly mm-hmm. Former Representative Black can say more.
All right. Well, what about the? I'm reading here that science staff for the DNR are among the cut positions.
Right. He wants to trim more or of the agency's scientists. It looks like a few dozen. He says their studies often go beyond the scope of DNR authority according to state statutes. That's what he said yesterday in Eau Claire. He wants the state to instead contract out studies to the universities or some other scientists, not sure from where. Critics like Kim Wright say there have been real experts, scientists at the DNR. People have looked at things like grassland birds and their habitat, mercury and water and so on. Wright also says some of the university studies are based on science and knowledge gained by the DNR.
So cutting scientists is a part of the proposed budget cut for DNR, and aren't there some other cuts, too?
Right, some educators as well. I read where the governor is making for a proposed $13 million cut in state taxpayer funds anyway. Now, there could be other sources making up some of that, but that's what his proposal is. He does want the agency to raise camping fees and vehicle fees when driving into state parks. Late yesterday, the governor's press office also started publicizing that the governor wants to establish a farmer-led water quality initiative, also to provide money in the next 2 years to reduce non-point water pollution and open or expand several new facilities at parks and in southern Wisconsin forests. I haven't heard a lot of details yet on those last few things.
Eleanor in Madison says, I have property in northern Wisconsin, and I am appalled at the arrogance of the DNR. The changes they are making have very little gain for the environment. They hold listening sessions, but they don't listen. Any thoughts, Chuck, on whether our attitudes or some people's negative attitudes toward the DNR is playing into this budget proposal at all?
Oh, certainly. I mean, we'd have to hear more details of the listener's concern, but there is a pushback. There is a belief by some who have private property up north that there's been too much acquired, too many people access for too many other people, so to speak, and that they've invested their life savings and properties and so on, and they don't like what's going on, you know, nearby. So there is that pushback. As I say, this is not the governor's first attempt to restrict stewardship, but this is the most severe, it seems like.
All right, Chuck. Well, we'll continue to follow the issue by listening to your reports. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee. He covers environmental issues for Wisconsin Public Radio, giving us the lowdown on Governor Walker's proposed budget for the Department of Natural Resources. After we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, we will welcome in former Democratic State Representative Spencer Black to get his take on these changes and these cuts to the DNR budget. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about the proposed changes for the DNR in Governor Walker's budget this hour. And now we will get the reaction of a former Democratic lawmaker who was very involved in natural resources issues when he was in the state legislature. Spencer Black is critical of Governor Walker's proposed budget when it comes to the Department of Natural Resources. He'll tell us why and answer your questions and respond to your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Spencer Black is a former Democratic state representative from Madison. He is vice president of the National Sierra Club. He's an adjunct professor of urban and regional planning at UW-Madison. He also appears on our Friday Week in Review program. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's very nice to be with you.
Well, what is your general reaction to what the governor would like to do regarding the Department of Natural Resources?
Well, you won't be surprised to hear that it's very negative. Walker has already, during his first term, severely weakened our proud Wisconsin tradition of environmental protection, looking out for our outdoors, and this would really take that decrease in protection to a new low level. In many ways, this will wipe out a proud legacy we've had in Wisconsin of stewardship of our outdoors, which has benefited the quality of life here and been essential to our economy.
Yeah, well, you were very instrumental in creating the stewardship fund. Now, this proposal could stop or halt land purchases for conservation purposes until 2028. How big a deal is that?
It's a big deal. For all practical purposes, it would stop us from adding to our state parks, our forests, our bike trails, all the things that make Wisconsin special. You know, this stewardship program is named after Gaylord Nelson and Warren Knowles, a Democratic governor and a Republican governor, who united in their commitment to protecting the outdoor Wisconsin so we would preserve our scenic beauty, our outdoor recreational opportunity, protect endangered resources, and protect what we really love about Wisconsin. And, you know, up until very recently, protecting our outdoors was not a partisan issue. It was bipartisan. A Democratic governor and a Republican governor were both committed to it. And, in fact, it was Governor Tommy Thompson, a Republican, who signed the stewardship program into law. So this is a big departure from Wisconsin tradition, a radical departure. What the stewardship program has done is it's one of the most efficient programs because it works with private money. It leverages tax dollars. In many cases, it's essential to our forest industry. For example, this would stop protection of the legacy forest, land that would be left in private ownership but open to the public for hunting, fishing, bird watching, hiking, but also open to the forestry industry, which is essential to northern Wisconsin. This would stop that cold. In southern Wisconsin, it would stop us from protecting some parks and other lands as we develop and as there's growth in southern Wisconsin and in our urban areas throughout the state. Parks, I mean, just think about if Governor Walker had been in power and had his way years back, what would your community be like if you didn't have the parks and open space that we enjoy today?
Well, the governor said in justification of this halting or freezing of land purchases that he heard that, especially in northern Wisconsin, there are too many land buys. And he's also concerned about financing that debt. But what about that? Is the stewardship fund buying up too much land?
You know, the state owns ownership of land is less than 4% of the total state land area. So it's a relatively small part of the state. And land is only purchased from those people who wish to sell it. No one is forced to sell land for this purpose. In many cases, people sell the development rights, especially the large forest blocks, so they retain protection of the land. So, and in cases for local governments, when the state does purchase land, it pays property taxes on that land as if it was still in private ownership. So this is a program that's done a tremendous amount for northern Wisconsin. Northern Wisconsin would not have much of an economy if it wasn't for the forestry industry and for the recreational industry. Our tourism industry is based on our outdoors, and if we stop doing that, we'll be killing the goose that laid the golden egg.
Well, are you surprised or pleased that Chuck Hornbach told us Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a Republican from Racine County, has raised concerns about freezing the stewardship fund?
Well, I'm pleased that that happened. But you know what? What's really going on here is Walker's proposals in this regard and others have very little to do with what's good for Wisconsin. And it's about time people who are elected by Wisconsin legislators, by Wisconsin citizens of either party, stand up for what's Wisconsin, what's good for our state. You know, these proposals are all intended to help Scott Walker in his run for president. They have very little to do with what's good for Wisconsin. They have to do with what will appeal to the very conservative primary and caucus voters in places like South Carolina, Mississippi, Utah, and elsewhere. And that's really what's going on here. Scott Walker is trying to put his marker down as someone who is against environmental protection, which does play well with this very conservative slice of the Republican Party that gets out to caucuses in places like Wyoming and Utah. And that's what this is about. But in Wisconsin, if we didn't protect our land, if we, in the face of development pressures, in the face of changing land ownership patterns around our flowages and our forests, we would be a very different state, and a state that would not be attractive either to citizens here or to the many people who come and spend their money here as tourists.
Well, I know the Natural Resources Board, under the governor's proposal, would no longer be able to set policy. It would instead be advisory only. What do you see happening if this proposal becomes reality?
Well, I think we can take the word advisory only and substitute the word meaningless. It would basically take all power away from the Natural Resources Board. And the Natural Resources Board has been essential to the state. It's been a fixture of the state for more than 80 years. It provides a place for citizens to come, first of all, and their decisions have to be open, transparent, and people get a chance to speak to the board before they make their decisions. And even though the board is appointed by the governor, they can't be fired by the governor, and they have fairly extensive terms, 6 years, which means that they are able, even though they're appointed by a political person, to have a degree of independence. And they occasionally, even under Walker, exercise that. For example, just recently, they authorized a strategic analysis of the impacts of the frac sand mining industry, which is having such an effect on western Wisconsin. This is something that should have been done long ago, but the board has exercised a certain amount of independence in at least taking a look at this industry, and we wouldn't have something like that. Another place where it will affect, going back to the stewardship fund, is the governor has ordered a significant amount of our state lands, our state parks and forests, sold off to private industry or private individuals. At least those kinds of decisions about what to sell off would have to currently go to the Natural Resources Board, have a public hearing and a public airing. Under this, the governor would be allowed to take our state parks and forests and just sell them off privately to whoever he wishes, whoever gave him a campaign contribution or whoever he seeks favor with.
Now, I know you're concerned about what the governor's budget proposals will do to the lower Wisconsin and Kickapoo Rivers. What's the problem there?
You know, these two areas have been a tremendous success story. Just last fall, Joy, I was down in Spring Green at a great celebration with the people down there and with former Governor Tommy Thompson. And Tommy and I both spoke to the crowd, celebrating 25 years of success of the Lower Wisconsin Riverway, a project that has been hailed nationwide as combining an interest in protecting the beautiful Lower Wisconsin Riverway, its river bottom forests, its scenic bluffs, but also having, through the Riverway Board, local input and, in essence, control. It's worked wonderfully. Even people who at one time criticized it came to the celebration and said how great it was. Scott Walker now wants to take that apart. You know, the idea of a Riverway Board was actually a Republican idea. I authored the legislation to protect the Lower Wisconsin Riverway. Some of the Republican legislators down there felt that my proposal didn't have enough local control. And the Riverway was, in fact, the idea of the Republicans to give it, and it was a good idea. That was one of the great things about when we had parties working together, is you could have an idea that was synthesized the best of both parties' proposals. And it's worked great. The Kickapoo Valley is a little has been there, I think, about 15 years. It's modeled in large measure on the success of the Lower Wisconsin Riverway. And again, it has worked well to protect the upper Kickapoo River Valley with significant local control. Taking that local input away and just putting it in the governor's office for all practical purposes is something that, first of all, Republicans would have screamed about 20 years ago and 30 years ago when we were considering these proposals, but also it really is a kick in the face of the local folks who've worked so hard to protect those resources in a way that benefit their communities.
Yeah. If you can, because we have lots of callers who want to talk to you, but I did want to get your reaction briefly to the job cuts, $13 million, I think, being cut in the positions of scientists and education staff.
Right, especially the scientists essentially decimating the Bureau of Science Services. This is maybe the worst proposal. You know, the scientists at DNR, they're well-educated, they've gone to college, they've finished their college education. Many of them have advanced degrees. They're experts in their field. And historically in Wisconsin, we've based our decisions about our natural resources on science. And the scientists at the DNR have provided the input, so these decisions are based on facts, not what's politically convenient. The governor finds the search for the truth that scientists undertake inconvenient, often to his campaign contributors. For example, the Gugebic taconite that's given him almost $1 million in campaign contributions didn't like the fact that the scientists discovered that there were wetlands and other water problems with a proposed mining project in northern Wisconsin. So what does the governor suggest? Not listening to the scientists and trying to make sure his decisions are based on good science and what's best for the environment, he says, let's fire the scientists.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Spencer Black, a former Democratic state representative from Madison, vice president of the National Sierra Club. Spencer Black is reacting to Governor Walker's budget proposals and how they affect the Department of Natural Resources. Let's take some calls for him. Ralph in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Ralph.
That's the Department of National.
I'm sorry, Ralph. We need you to be ready to go on the phone. Matt on Facebook says five of the seven members of the Natural Resources Board are Walker appointees. The Natural Resources Board called out Kathy Stepp for a lack of oversight related to frac sand mining and as a result had their power reduced to an advisory role. Did you suspect that was a part of this, Spencer?
Well, I think that points to what they did on frac sand, where they did go against the governor and said that at least we need a study of this industry that's having such an effect on western Wisconsin was not something obviously that pleased the governor. Whether this was a direct retribution or just in general, he doesn't like anybody having any independence. As was pointed out by your writer there, these appointees, for all practical purposes, are Walker's people, but even they have exercised a degree of independence at times, and even the smallest measure of independence and not just falling in lockstep with the governor is punished under the current administration.
Tom in Platteville is with us now. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Joey. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a brief comment from an accounting perspective. I'm currently in a government accounting class, and I think when the general public hears the word, and I don't know much about this fund, but when they hear the word stewardship fund, they think that there's kind of a pot of money that's available for this project. But what I heard just from this program is that they're selling bonds in order to do this, and I also heard that it was private money, which, if they're selling bonds, that's true, that it's private money coming in. However, that they still obviously owe that money back, so it's really the government going into debt.
Spencer?
Well, I think your caller is right that he doesn't understand the program. The private money I referred to is the fact that stewardship money, in many cases, matches private contributions, so that our tax dollars go twice as far or even further. So much of the land that's been protected has been a mix of public tax dollars, but also matched equally by private citizens who have contributed to protect our environment. So when we're talking about private money in this context, we're talking about the fact that the money spent by the stewardship program goes twice as far to protect our beautiful Wisconsin outdoors.
Let's go next to Charles in Wausau. Hello, Charles.
I want to say, you know, when I hear people express frustration with the DNR and their lack of accountability to the public, I have to say that, you know, bringing the DNR into a cabinet post, you know, all that dates back to Tommy Thompson. And so this is part of a bigger strategy to when you elect people who distrust and don't like government, they're going to act like scoundrels, and they are going to make government unworkable. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I work with DNR staff. I teach a hunter safety course up in northern Wisconsin. My brother-in-law is a graduate of UW Stevens Point's wildlife program. And these people are smart, intelligent, dedicated, educated professionals, and we should trust them. So it's really frustrating to hear the science being sidelined at the DNR. So my question to you first, isn't the frustration that people express with the DNR, and isn't that really an effect of past Republican policies? And also, how can our conservative friends call themselves conservative when they're not conserving anything?
Well, good questions. Actually, I wouldn't call this. If conservative is not making dramatic changes, this certainly isn't conservative. It's radical. It's a radical departure from our Wisconsin, a very proud Wisconsin legacy of intelligently and scientifically managing our outdoors and natural resources. And in terms of accountability, I do hear about this about DNR, and, you know, there's decisions that DNR has made that I have agreed with and not. But anybody who's concerned that there's not enough accountability with the Department of Natural Resources should be totally opposed to this proposal by the governor to take the one mechanism that people have to speak to these decisions and know about these decisions before they're made and have them publicly aired and eliminate it by taking the Natural Resources Board and making them advisory, which basically means that they have no power whatsoever, means that there is absolutely no accountability for what the DNR does. And, you know, it's interesting that some of the folks who may speak for this, perhaps the next speaker on the radio, you know, even though governors come and go, and parties change, and maybe they should think about the fact that they may not be so happy with a system that's totally unaccountable if they had a governor who they don't agree with.
Well, we'll ask Senator Tiffany that question when he comes on after the news. Spencer Black, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Spencer Black, former Democratic State Representative from Madison, Vice President of the National Sierra Club. Talking with us about these proposed changes and cuts in the governor's budget for the Department of Natural Resources. So do you think that the Natural Resources Board should be stripped of its authority and be advisory only? Do you think that the DNR's Bureau of Science Services should be cut? Do you think that purchases to conserve land from development, should those purchases be halted? We'll ask Senator Tom Tiffany after the news. coverage of how the proposed state budget deals with the Department of Natural Resources continues now with a Republican state senator. And we continue to welcome your questions and comments. What do you think of the proposed budget for the Department of Natural Resources? Do you think the Natural Resources Board should be advisory only? Do you think land purchases through the stewardship fund should be halted? Do you agree with the staff cuts to the DNR's science and education units? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We heard from our environmental reporter, Chuck Quirnbach, to start off the hour explaining the proposal. We heard from a former Democratic state lawmaker, Spencer Black, in our last segment. And now let me welcome in Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany. He is a senator from Hazelhurst. He serves on the Senate Natural Resources Committee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you very much for being with us. So let's go through these major areas point by point. How do you feel about the call to strip the Natural Resources Board of its ability to set policy and make it advisory only?
First of all, it's an unelected board, and that's something I've always had a concern with because it's not the only unelected board that we have in state government, but that's always concerned me, and is it directly accountable to the voters? And I know your previous caller, Spencer Black, said this is a power grab by the governor. I actually view that differently. I think this is going to give the legislature more authority. One thing that I believe has happened, and it's one of the reasons that I ran for elected office, is I saw legislators in the past sometimes just kicking off decisions to, like, the Natural Resources Board and to unelected bodies. And I think it's very important for us as legislators to take responsibility for the legislation and for the public policy that's set in Wisconsin. So I actually think we're going to get greater accountability. I mean, you had a 7-member board that has been set up and in place for a long time. Now you have the accountability of 132 legislators that have to go back to the voters every 2 to 4 years to answer to them.
Yeah, and Spencer Black said, though, that the governor has the authority under this plan, and he wondered how you would feel about a Democratic governor having this authority.
No, I just do not. I generally do not support unelected boards setting policy, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. And I think that's a fair point that Spencer makes. But ultimately, it will land on the shoulders of the legislature. As I said previously, there's been instances where legislators said, well, gosh, that was the Natural Resources Board that did that, or that's the rulemaking process. It's important that we as legislators take responsibility for the public policy that's set here in Wisconsin.
Former DNR Secretary George Meyer said removing the board of its authority politicizes natural resources management and gives citizens that don't have much political clout the opportunity to bring forward their ideas. Are citizens going to have a say in DNR matters?
Well, I think that's a lobbyist perspective. You know, George is a high-paid lobbyist at this point, and I just disagree with that. In fact, I would say to you that and George Meyer is the one that set up the current structure of the Department of Natural Resources back in the mid-90s, and Spencer alluded to many people feel the department's unaccountable. I hear that from constituents regularly. It's the number one complaint that I get up in my district, and I think that's partly a function of how the Department of Natural Resources was reorganized. I understand I'm a little bit away from the subject at hand, but I don't think George Meyer is an authority on this issue, and I'm not sure that I don't think we should follow failed policies of the 20th century.
But aren't citizens able to go before the Natural Resources Board with their concerns and complaints?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, they have public hearings, regular meetings. I think they have about 10 per year, and you know, so that certainly was happening. But you also have 132 legislators. We hear from people all the time. I just got done doing 6 listening sessions in my district. Us legislators hear from constituents also, and ultimately the people that have to answer to the voters, we in the legislature and the governor, we should be setting public policy.
I'm going to jump to the the proposal to cut some of the DNR's science staff. Spencer Black said, kind of bluntly, the scientists didn't tell Governor Walker or proponents of the iron mine in northern Wisconsin what they wanted to hear. So he says, let's fire those scientists.
Yeah, I have no idea that situation. I am not all that familiar with it. I mean, obviously, I was the author of the iron ore mining bill. Science Services getting involved with this, I guess I'm not all that familiar with their involvement there, so I really can't comment. But I would say this. What we're looking for is value in government, and I think the taxpayers are looking for value in government. And Science Services, in talking to constituents and just reviewing natural resources policy, I don't know what value we were getting from Science Services. And I would point to one issue where I think Science Services actually got in the way of a good wildlife program, and that's when the bobcat season was revised this past year to allow hunting south of Highway 64, which was a good thing, but Science Services was urging them not to increase the number of tags north of Highway 64. I'm hearing from sportsmen of all political stripes, the number of bobcats really need to be reduced to a certain extent. Michigan and Minnesota have left their tags up rather high or at a higher level than we have, while we've decreased them over the last 10 years. And Science Services was partly behind that, and sportsmen are going, why are you doing this? So I'm not sure we were getting the value out of Science Services that really justifies all those positions.
Kathy in Elk Mound has a question about this. Hello, Kathy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I feel just the opposite of what Senator Tiffany has mentioned in terms of getting value out of science. We need more science. We don't need less. Taking the science out of DNR is playing a horrible experiment with the health and safety of our citizens and state visitors and the protection of our critters and lands. If we can do whatever seems right to the economic bottom line, we'll be playing a dangerous experiment with our air and our water. We need to learn more about what's happening with our air around sand mines and around CAFOs. We need to learn more about how to protect our surface waters from phosphorus. We need to learn more about the groundwater impacts from intensive location of sand mines.
Yeah, and thank you, Kathy. I know we get your gist. What about Senator Tiffany?
Real quick comment, Joy. We're not taking the science out of the decision-making process. In fact, specifically in regards to sand mines, the UW-Eau Claire, right next to Elk Mounds, right next to there, their geology department has done extensive studies in regards to sand mining. So it isn't that science is going to end. I just don't think we're getting the value out of the Science Services Division that the people of the state of Wisconsin deserve.
So the DNR then would rely on science or research done by the university?
Yeah, and they already do in many instances. There's a variety of, we get a lot of research out of the UW, but we also get it from around the country that where we use scientific studies to validate public policy that we put in place.
Let's talk about this freezing land purchases through the stewardship fund until probably 2028. Do you favor that?
I thought you had a terrific caller in the previous segment with Spencer Black, Tom from Platteville, and he talked about the bonding. And that's the one thing that Spencer did not get to. We have $1 billion worth of bonds, billion with a B, for the stewardship program that we have to pay off over the next 20 years. And so what we're saying is let's take a moratorium. And I do support the governor's proposal in regards to this. There needs to be a moratorium. And he was talking about protecting, especially northern Wisconsin. I could tell you, as a former town official in northern Wisconsin, I hear from a lot of local municipalities, time to take a time out with the stewardship program because you're taking so much land off from our tax base. Now, I'm sure Spencer would come back and say, well, they get payments in lieu of taxes, but that's not as valuable sometimes as when they have perhaps a development project that is now frozen out. The other thing that it's done, we have a lot of parcels that have been purchased in very small tracts, as small as like a quarter acre or an acre, and it's led to parcelization, and that's one of our prime objectives as a policymaker in northern Wisconsin, is to stop the parcelization of some of these large forest tracts. And in some instances, stewardship has actually led to or fostered that parcelization.
Now, so how do you see natural resources management shaping up in Wisconsin should Governor Walker get his way with these proposals?
Oh, we have a long history of appropriate use of the environment and progressive policies. And I rarely use the term progressive, but we really have done a very good job with the environment. Year after year, we get better and better and in terms of taking care of the air and the water in this state, and we're going to continue to. And I think sometimes people are too focused on how much money do you spend, what processes do you go through. It should be about outcomes, and that's what this is going to be about. Let's deliver those outcomes, which are environmental protection and proper environmental management. Let's focus on the outcomes rather than the processes.
Eleanor in Madison had called in earlier to say that she has property in northern Wisconsin and is appalled at the arrogance of the DNR. The changes they make have very little gain for the environment, doesn't think they listen. How much of this is about animosity toward the DNR?
Well, I think, you know, the Department of Natural Resources has great authority. I mean, for instance, you take wardens. They're the only law enforcement officers that I know of that can go on a person's property and confiscate something. They can go into your freezer and take out, you know, whatever they want to if they suspect a crime's been committed. So they really have had great authority, and so sometimes people are going to chafe against that. And so, yeah, there's always been that tension, Joy, between the Department of Natural Resources and the people of the state of Wisconsin. And we're trying to navigate that here with these changes in public policy.
And we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Great to be here, Joy.
Tom Tiffany, a Republican state senator from Hazelhurst. He serves on the Natural Resources Committee. Prior to his appearance, we heard from Spencer Black, a former Democratic state representative from Madison, and Chuck Hornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's environmental reporter, talking about Governor Walker's proposed state budget for the Department of Natural Resources. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Kayla Blado, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.